Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We will do two shows tonight, a war review and news review, and then we will move to our private Patreon hangout. If you want to be part of the discussion, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. We know that James will be there and to present an idea that he introduced to us yesterday, and there will be more also, I'm sure. So join the Patreon or the Subscribestar, and the link will be published on these websites. Tattlegrim says, oh wow, stream started automatically. Yes, it did. Gray says, the call-in show yesterday was amazing. It was like a Molyneux relationship advice show in an alternate universe. Exactly, that's how I felt at the exit of the show. I was happy that we, because these guys weren't calling necessarily to talk relationship, but I got them on this subject, and oh my god, did we see a massive problem there. It was like it was the same problem for every guy, so much so that it looked like it was a show planned on a special team, but no, it wasn't. It was just the fact that there's so much guys suffering from this indecision in the modern world that there's so many of them that if you just ask them a little bit about relationships, they will get there. Lappy Top was saying, people seem outraged by racial discrimination of the refugees. Reading the comments make me sad. Seems like people aren't allowed to prioritize their own people. It's also interesting to observe feminists arguing traditional gender roles, lol. Yes, that was a that's a fascinating outcome of the this war is that you see the left talking once again about women. It's how many years had it been before we saw, you know, woman, the concept of a woman? It's like, oh my god, women are getting targeted by Russian strikes. What do you mean, woman? Well, woman, you know, people with boobs and babies. Oh, okay. So you're telling me that it's a thing now. Women are a thing because we have to consider them as a separate gender for the purpose of bombardment. So you're telling me that there is such a thing as the gender binary now. It exists at least in the military strategies and your expectations of what the enemies will do to you. I haven't seen the leftist media be brought on this tangent, but it would be interesting to have them in front of us and start questioning them. By the way, one other thing that will be amazing is I'll have a debate. Russia versus Ukraine. I'll be on the Russian side. This will be on Saturday on the Crucible. It's against a guy named Counterpoints. Originally, I thought that I was going to debate Contrapoints, you know. I reread the messages from the Crucible from Andrew, and no, it's Counterpoints. It's a guy who doesn't dress as a woman. He's really just a guy. And he's a centrist, and I expect that he will take the side of Ukraine. So I've actually redone my little video here because there's an American flag, but there will be some Russian characters illustrated on my TV during the debate. It's going to be great because they are historical characters that have contributed to the expansion of the Russian empires across the centuries, and there will also be a flag to, you know, it won't be the American flag. I've done a little video today to prepare for this debate, and as I was selecting the historical characters that will be illustrated, I discovered some stuff that I didn't know about the history of Russia. I didn't know that Catherine the Great conquered Crimea. So Crimea has been on and off inside the Russian Empire and outside of it many times during the centuries. And I've also learned about Alexander II. I didn't know that Alexander II, he's the guy, I believe, who sold the Alaska to the US. And Catherine the Great was the Tsar who sent colonialists to Alaska to so that there would be Russian people living there originally. And then eventually Alexander II sold it to the US. And I didn't know he's called Alexander the Liberator because he freed the slave in Russia pretty much at the same time as Abraham Lincoln did it in the US. I didn't know that about Russia. So I'm going to have these great historical characters displayed in front of me as a testament to my allegiance to the Russian Empire. It's going to be quite fun during the debate. Tother Grimm sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, if you haven't seen Oliver Stone's The Putin Interviews, it's well worth it. It's the full 4 hours, which the clips were taken from for the Ukraine documentaries. Highlight is where they sit down together and watch Dr. Strangelove. Great. I'll watch them because I've seen them. I've seen the links to it. I just didn't get the time to get to it. And I was like, is there really going to be something new from the documentary? But you seem to be telling me that it's worth it. So I'll do it. Philosoraptor says, Philosoraptor says, what do you make of the COVID cases and restrictions happening in China? New variant? Oh yeah, I mean I've seen it. I have no idea. I don't know. I haven't read in depth and I don't even know if they know. We'll see. To me, any sort of response from society is overdone and China has been overdone since the beginning of the COVID stuff and they will keep being overdone, I'm afraid. So we have to prepare. Join me on Entropy if you would like to send super chats to support the show. It's the right place to send me super chats, or you can use the support button on Odyssey if you have the USD option enabled, or buy some LBC. Do you think BTC will rise to a new ATH within the year? That is my question, because economically, what we are seeing is that Russia wants to pay their debt, and they have sent an order to their bank, pay our debts with our USDs that are in our accounts. But the problem is the banks have been told by America that these accounts are blocked and this money is freeze. So they're trying to make the payments, but the payments are not passing up to now. We don't know what will happen. Will there be a laissez-faire attitude with respect to debt payment, maybe, by the American government? Or will the American government force the default to happen, which would result probably in a loss of credit status for Russia, having not been able to pay their debt? We'll see. We'll see. Justed says RT.com and RT Live 24/7 can be seen slash viewed online 24/7 without a VPN. Yes, however, look at this. I'm in Canada right now, okay? I tried to browse to Russia today. This channel is not available in your country. So it seems that the blockade of Russia, which we had learned that this was happening, YouTube had decided to block Russia everywhere. But interestingly, they didn't delete the channel. They blocked it in countries. So what does is there a country that has access to Russia today still? Like, can I be from country X, maybe a secret country name in the YouTube system, and then I would be allowed to watch Russia Today? It's interesting because it's a major move of censorship against really a news channel, and you can see that the power system is really triggered at the idea that free people could be producing news. I mean, I'm the next target, I would guess, because I mean, perhaps my small size will save me, but from a perspective of banning the voices that can show some understanding of the Russian position. RT, of course, it's the easy target because you can argue, oh, they've been funded by the Russian state. But then by this standard, Canada has been funded by the Canadian, the CBC has been funded by the Canadian state. and the Canadian state, the federal government, has engaged in terrible wars across the years, at times supporting America, supporting the US in interventions that killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. So why isn't the CBC banned from YouTube? Well, we know, because they take the right side and they don't want you to hear an alternative view. And it's been a big problem for the system. The fact that technology led to people like me being free to speak. And that's why we've been targeted by all sorts of banning. Russia Today, it's the next step. It's really a professional news channel that if you put aside the ideological commitment and the kind of perspective that Russia Today was bringing, which, by the way, was a very large and diverse perspective. I mean, Coach Red Pill was on Russia Today when he wasn't even named Coach Red Pill back in the days. He was giving some economic commentary. It was a very diverse place for kind of quirky thinkers. That's how I would describe Russia Today. They were open to quirky thinking, pretty much largely open to even outside of things that would be in the direct interest of Russia. They wanted something different. And just this difference is the subject of intolerance today. Are you ready to eat the Big Back at McDonald's? Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the new Russian McDonald's. There you go. The Russian fast food chain that Russian Parliament Speaker has proposed replace McDonald's as filed for this trademark. Not kidding. Haha, ara bar. In any case, it's the McDonald's of Russia. You will be able to buy all of the Big Macs and the stuff that you would have expected in a McDonald's, but it will be prepared independently from the central control of a McDonald's supervisor. It's going to be unofficial McDonald's. We are hearing 2 hours ago that explosions reported in a number of cities in Belarus, residents of Baranovichi, Luninets, Stalin, Pensavichi, Slutsk, and Kletz, and other cities reported sounds similar to explosions. Look at this. Is someone striking Belarus? Hopefully, this is not the beginning of an extension of the war. Hopefully, I mean, perhaps it is just Ukraine trying to target sites that they believe were used by the Russian army. But I hope this is not like some other country going after Belarus and then eventually Russia going after this country and then eventually World War III. Hopefully we are not there, but it's very worrying to see that the conflict may have expanded in surface. Belarus now targeted. Wow. Firefox removes Yandex search, will auto-switch affected users. More censorship going on. Mama JF, what's up?
I thought you were gonna say that McDonald's now had a Big Mac made with bugs. My God, I was
not
there.
Not so bad, not so bad.
Like, you were not there yet.
No, not there. Okay. You know, McDonald's, I don't know what to think. They've been trying to follow some of the vegan trends at times, and they've been, I believe at some point they've been offering meals. Was it a fake burger? But it didn't stick for long, and eventually McDonald's reconverges back to what people want to eat. I remember the representative of McDonald's saying, ultimately if it doesn't sell, we're going to have to remove it. And so I think that for the bug burgers, they would be the last. But one place where McDonald's seems to have followed the trend is in stopping plastic straws. And it's, to me, it's ridiculous. Those paper straws are disgusting. And you know, I have difficulty thinking about it in advance and saying, oh, I'm going to bring my my washable straw so that I can eat at McDonald's. I'm very sad about the paper straw, and but perhaps it's by law that they are forced to do this. I'm not sure. But so McDo has cucked in the past, but I don't expect that them to cuck on the Bug Mac. But quite a scary possibility raised by Mama JF here. Firefox removes Yandex search, will auto switch affected users to Google. Wow. This is straight out anti-competitive practice. Can you imagine this? Like, oh, the government has chosen that, okay, you can enter in the McDonald's, you can order the Big Mac, but we're going to serve you the Baconator instead by Wendy's. It's exactly what's happening at the level of browsers here. That would be a anti-competitive practice and a cartel, yes, the Keshado, a cartel. And now it's happening. And support for Russia's mail.ru is also pulled. Man, this sucks for the internet, but I hope that from this is born a new system of parallel internet, including Odyssey, including everything. Man, that sucks. This will be my debate, Ukraine versus Russia. It's on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Crucible. Make sure you follow the Crucible channel on Odyssey and YouTube. Justin, former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo is seeking a $125 million arbitration award, claiming the network wrongly terminated him. I'm happy that there's a war between the people who are oppressed inside CNN, because essentially he got canceled for what? For a couple of dirt rising about him. Now, I'm not sympathetic to Chris Cuomo, but I'm very happy that they're going to fight between one another. A fight between Chris Cuomo and CNN is all good. It drains the energy from these people. And that's less time to produce quality media, which they're not good at anyway. There is this article. I think that the title is totally exaggerated. Whilst you've been distracted by Russia-Ukraine, the UK government quietly published data confirming the triple vaccinated are just weeks away from developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. This part is very exaggerated. However, there's some very very interesting data that they've put together. So, you know, the UK publishes their data in a very cryptic manner, which you can't really use to make conclusions scientifically, and they've been more and more cryptic as time went by. And I knew that if they got that cryptic, it's probably because the vaccine is showing negative efficiency. And that's what's happening. So these guys have put together the data, but in a way that you can understand them, and in the way that you can compare, all right, the let's compare the unvaccinated to the vaccinated. Unvaccinated in this column, vaccinated in this column. And that's for week 6 and week 9 of 2022. So it's the latest data that is available and compiled up to 6th of March. So look at this. Per 100,000 people in the category 40 to 49 years old, for example, 642 will have, or, okay, 642. I'm just making sure I'm giving you the right number. 642 people in the unvaccinated category will have COVID in this week. 2,240 in the triple vaccinated. This is negative vaccine efficacy, effectiveness. We are in the minus 100%, minus 150% range depending on the ages. You are about 3 times more likely to get COVID in March if you've been vaccinated 3 times. Ba-bam! Now they're going to say all sorts of things. They're going to say, well, you know, technically we're not totally sure because there may be different populations that didn't get the vaccine, and those who didn't get the vaccine maybe because they're more confident in their health, and maybe they're right about being more confident in their health, and maybe they didn't need the vaccine as much. But there's no way to sugarcoat this to the point where this is completely wrong. There is something about this vaccine that is not working. There is something that is associated with increased chance of having COVID, and it's getting more and more solid as time progresses forward. We are on the 16th of March. This is data going from up to 2 weeks ago. And we have major increases in the negative effectiveness that was already present months ago and already present even more months ago. So that's pretty solid in terms of a demonstration. What does that mean? Maybe the virus is evolving in a direction as to specifically target vaccinated people. There may be things in your body that change, that make your immune system perhaps fight the virus for a couple of weeks, but perhaps then weaker. And this has been predicted by the different doctors that passed on Dark Horse podcast and other media. So it's reassuring to see that the theoretical predictions happened. So credit to these very visionary people who have seen that the evolutionary forces that we were imposing on the virus would inevitably lead to this in one form or another. We now see it right in front of us. Broadcasting of RT and RT France is now banned in Canada. I wonder to what extent, if I want to watch a RT clip, am I broadcasting RT? I'm sure they wouldn't go after me because I'm sure they wouldn't want a test of DATLA, and they wouldn't want the test to be on an individual Canadian giving his opinion about the RT clip. But it's a good question. What is the form of this ban here? But yeah, so they confirm that what I'm seeing on my YouTube screen is true. It's been banned in Canada specifically. Video of a 10-foot sturgeon fish goes viral. Big fish.
We were just able to tag it, so it's probably never been caught. And now we're going to release it back into the river.
Woo! Woo! Okay, bro. Big sturgeon fish. UBS slam. Oh, this one is funny. UBS slams Wall Street push to include defense stocks in ESG funds. So what are ESG funds? Those are the kind of leftist environmental, social, and governance funds. They are funds that are supposed to be highly ethical. It's like you might be making a little less money, but you're going to be making money that is ethical. It's going to be clean. You're going to care about the environment. We're going to make sure that the company that you invest in is ESG approved. It is ethical. It is caring about the social good, the environmental good, and the governance good. Now, they're rooting for defense stocks to be included in ESG fund. So basically, you're going to have a guarantee of ethics in the management of the company, but ultimately the goal of these companies is to produce bombs and weapons that will come to kill people. So, like, you won't be able to drill for oil in an ESG fund, but you'll be able to kill people. for like as a business. It's amazing. So Wall Street is pushing for this, of course. Why? Because there's lots of excitement against the about the stocks of the military companies, like these big military companies that produce missiles and armor stuff and whatever, all the military equipment. It's getting to be a very growing section now that people are scared and governments need material. But they might be able to get approved in environmental, social, and governance funds. Poroshenko in 2014, about the people in Donbass. Will have work, they won't. Will have retirement, they won't. We will have benefits, they won't. Our kids will go to school, their kids will stay in caves because they don't know how to do anything, and this is how we win the war. If you wonder whether there was a genocidal context that justifies the intervention of Russia in Ukraine, just look at this period where they were denying public services, and they've continued to do so since 2014, denying services to areas that were judged not enough loyal to Ukraine, too pro-Russian, too Russian in their lifestyle. And so they've denied them banking services, they've denied them payments from the state for old people, that kind of stuff. And so there was this context before Russia decided, after years of this kind of harassment and this kind of politically approved harassment, to intervene. White House stands firm on opposition to a no-fly zone over Ukraine, despite Zelensky's plea. Psaki said the Biden administration is not interested in getting into World War III. So there was the speech of Zelensky in front of the Canadian Congress and then in front of the American Congress, and he he was asking for a no-fly zone. It won't happen, according to the American government. And so we are still in the same situation. There will be continued Russian activity in the skies as long as it's in the interest and the strategic desire of Vladimir Putin. This whole idea of a no-fly zone is kind of ridiculous. There's lots of Russian troops on the ground already ready to shut down aircrafts that would pass, and they would end up shooting an American aircraft. So the reason Zelensky wants this to happen is, of course, to get the US involved in this conflict. And I agree with the reading that the US shouldn't get involved in this conflict. Certainly not on the side of Ukraine. So I'm agreeing with Biden's decision here, although I'm not agreeing with the passive aggressive approach of feeding weapons that give confidence to the Ukrainian people that they can win this war. Because let us all remind ourselves of a truth that was true at the beginning of this war and still is true. Putin is not using his best missiles to end this war. And he could, but he's not doing it. Just that says, Jeff, a future poll here on the show could be, were you aware Ukraine was at war continually since 2014? Western mainstream media did not report it beyond 2014. Many assumed it ended. Yes, we could do that survey. And I guess I would qualify as someone who, I mean, loosely, I could have told you that some conflict was happening around Georgia, Crimea. But the idea that the conflict was existing and was crippling the life of people inside Ukraine, I didn't know that until the very beginning of this war. So I too would qualify to answer no to this survey. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you see the vid of the criminals in Houston stealing gas from inside their van? No, I haven't seen this. Not aware of what that is. BBC correspondent Jeremy Bowen reporting from Kiev, Ukraine, where Russia shelling of city blocks goes on. I'm not sure that that Russia is targeting downtown areas. It is my impression that the residential building that did get hit this morning might have been as a consequence of an anti-missile defense. They tried to blow the missile in the air, and the Ukrainian tried to blow the Russian missile in the air, and it bounced off and eventually fell onto a residential center. But it's not my impression that there's an intentional targeting of Kiev at this moment. As far as the strategic deployment of Putin that I can see up to now, it seems to be headed around military axis of defense around Kiev with the goal of encircling Kiev, but not with the goal of shooting at Kiev right now. So we can see this morning this explosion.
Just after dawn, another attack hit a residential area in Kiev. Ukrainian forces say they're keeping Russian artillery out of range, but missiles can be fired from Russia, and they are harder to stop.
So you saw the building that was on fire. It seems to me that this building may have been the result of an accidental deviation of the missile as a result of the defensive forces. Justet says, RT Live is a very enlightening info channel to watch. Excellent docs shown, regularly complete with English subtitles. Yes, it was very interesting. It's a little bit annoying when I follow it live because it's packed with a lot of ads. Like, not ads from external companies, but like they will come with this week on RT. And like they will show some random politician talking on a couch, and it's kind of okay, let's get to the info. But yeah, it's when you get to the info, it's very good. The Duggan interview, Alimer, I don't know if my Duggan interview is still available. You might find it on Alt Censored. That's one of the only places that I've kept my old videos and that I haven't shut down yet. The Kiev Independent, Financial Times, Ukraine, Russia draw up tentative peace plan to end the war. The deal includes a ceasefire and Russian troop withdrawal if Kiev renounces NATO membership ambitions and accepts limits on its armed forces, the FT reported, citing unnamed officials involved in the talk. Today there was enthusiasm around the potential for a peace agreement to develop, but eventually Kiev published a big no. And it's like, what you've been negotiating for days, and you say no on the basis that you don't want a model where you are denied NATO membership. It's kind of bizarre. It seems that this was a unmovable Russian request from the beginning. So it seems that if this was a deal breaker for you, you shouldn't have engaged in negotiations at all from the beginning. But yeah, we had a categorical refusal on the Ukraine side, saying we don't want to join this deal because we want to keep our potential for joining NATO, or we disagree with the disarmament clause. If they keep disagreeing with this disarmament clause, what we're going to see is Russia continuing the conflict until they take all of the piece of Ukraine that they are interested in. Ultimately, Ukraine will not be a ground for NATO forces or for external Western forces of any kind, as long as Russia, because Russia doesn't want it. So it's either going to be that they will take over Ukraine and control the territory in full or in part, and the rest, it's not going to be able to join NATO. Fate of Hundreds, Sheltering in Bombed Theater, Mariupol is unknown, regional official says. So there was a drama theater that was bombed. And they are claiming that there were civilians in there. However, the contact has not been established with the civilians because they would have been perhaps in the basement and they are now covered in rubble. So impossible to know if there were civilians and if they have survived. And there was a picture published on social media today indicating that the people who were sheltering in this drama theater had written the word children in big on the parking lots so that from a satellite picture or a plane you could see children, don't shoot this drama theater. And this, and people of course are alarmed. They say, oh my god, they're shooting children now intentionally. The problem is, if I'm a military strategist, I cannot stop a bombing of a strategic position just because you've written the word children on it. In fact, if anything, and this is a word to the wise in terms of strategic survival in a war zone, I know it may sound smart to write children and to think maybe there's going to be a human being on the other side who won't bombard because it's written children. The fact is that it's a common strategy for armed militias and terrorists of all kind and Nazis and armies personnel in general to write children like this to make you believe that you shouldn't shoot on it. So it's really not a clever thing to do. The best signal you can send is no signal in a war zone. Don't drag attention toward you. Because if I'm a military strategist and I see a big building with children written on it, I'm like, that sounds like a military strategy to protect a Nazi battalion. And so I'm going to shoot it. So I don't think that it's an illustration of the lack of humane care of the Russian side. I think it's just a very bad decision to be writing children like this in a war zone. Russia fails to pay scheduled interest on dollar bonds by close of business in London. Holders of Russian government dollar bonds with coupons due on Wednesday have not received confirmation of payment as of close of business in London, according to Reuters. At issue, the $2-denominated government bonds, which have $117 million in interest due today, failure to pay or attempting to pay in rubles instead of dollars, would potentially place Russia in default by its creditors. So here we have Russia who's saying, we have those bank accounts and we have the money in them, but the banks are blocked by the American government. So what we're going to do is we're going to send a letter to our bank saying, please do make these payments. But the bank will probably refuse as long as they don't have the green light from the American government. So if they don't get that green light, we're going to end up with a default. And then there might be some bankruptcy proceeding of some kind, such that the people who are entitled to receive interest might end up seeing it after a long judiciary process. So I suspect that either the government is going to let those frozen accounts be drained for the purpose of interest repayment, or they are going to allow some sort of the judiciary bankruptcy proceeding. And eventually the investor will get their due or something close to their due. But there's going to be a couple of shark lawyers in the process that will enrich themselves also. Asked about Poland's call on Wednesday to send NATO forces into Ukraine on a peacekeeping mission, the NATO military officials suggested such a plan would be untenable, saying it would likely be more like peace enforcement in current context and would be war with Russia. So Poland somehow insists that other NATO nations send forces in Ukraine, It's absolutely ridiculous. Poland is does not have the balls to do it themselves, and so they're like, oh yeah, why is not why aren't you doing it like the jet thing? It's like, oh yeah, we got these jets here, America, take these jets. And America is like, no, Poland, calm down. Poland is about to get themselves defined as the next target of Putin. I would be careful if I was them, because they're too enthusiastic about it. They're trying too hard to convince America to attack Russia in Ukraine. Firestarter says, Poland is being more and more cocked even day since the invasion. Yeah, every day since the invasion, absolutely. They are. You know, Poland is a very tempting... Let me talk to you, Poland. You are a very tempting target. If I was to win a war with Ukraine, you'd be my next go-to, because you're right there. I got access to your Eastern Front just from my Western Front of the advancement on Ukraine. You are within reach of air forces of Russia, including missiles. How about you shut the fuck up for your own good, Poland? Putin claims that Russia's invasion of Ukraine is developing successfully. The Russian dictator also claimed that the Russian military was doing everything to avoid civilian casualties, despite the fact that they have been targeting civilians and residential areas. Well, the evidence for an intentional targeting of civilians is weak. What seems to be happening is that, one, in some places, including Mariupol, Kharkiv, other small cities in the east and south, you have the Ukraine forces and you have the Azov battalion using residential structure to lead war. So this turns those residential buildings into legitimate war targets. And on the other hand, in Kiev, what you seem to have is intercepted missiles, which no one controls the direction of. So they end up on a residential building and they kill people. But in general, I see a genuine attempt on the Russian side to engage in a war, military to military, not in the targeting of civilians. So that was the rejection on the Kiev side. Kiev rejects proposed neutrality in peace talks as Russians shoot 10 dead in a breadline. Well, okay, so that's those two things are unrelated, but yes, Kiev refuses to have a neutrality deal. When you refuse to be neutral, you are telling me, you are revealing to me that you have intention of not being neutral. Therefore, I will perceive you legitimately as a potential threat to me. It's as simple as this, and that's how Putin must be thinking. You should accept neutrality. Either you're big enough to fight with the big guys, and you're America, you're Russia, you have a big enough army to impose your will, or you don't. And if you don't, you should consider the advantage of neutrality. Grapes Coda says, stop starting the show early. I'm too autistic for this schedule change. There's not been a schedule change. 7 p.m. Eastern time is the time, but there has been daylight savings time. So in America, we change the hour 2 times a year, I believe. So that's why. In Europe, you don't do this. Maybe you're in Europe, so you don't know. But the good news for you is that daylight saving times is getting canceled by the American Congress. So eventually, the times will be more stable. Steven Robinson says, the gas stealing vid, it is quite ingenious. JF, I sent it to you today in Discord DM. Oh, well, thank you, but it doesn't sound interesting to me. But yes, I've seen those various gas stealing techniques. People are drilling in tanks and they're pumping with tubes and stuff. But I'm not going to document this on this show because there's zero intellectual interest here. You're just a theft of gas. I don't want to cover it. It's just not super fascinating to me. Quick summary of Putin's latest address. Kiev could have obtained nuclear weapons. The target would have been Russia. Kiev authorities were asked through various channels not to engage in hostilities and to withdraw their troops from Donbass, but they didn't want to. So one thing we learned today is that Putin had explicitly told Ukraine, look, if you can withdraw from Donbass, it's going to be okay. We're not going to do war with you. But they didn't want to. They wanted to keep imposing their will on this section of Ukraine, which wanted independence. So what could Putin do, really? This is the picture of the word children written in Russian. This is not a good war strategy. Children. This is exactly what I would write if I was a Nazi trying to hide from denazification operations. It's like textbook, imitable signal isn't worth it. There might be a way to produce unimitable signals in war, things that there's no possible way to misinterpret or lie about it, but that is not one of those. Biden calls Putin a war criminal. Of course, that's been the discourse for a while, so not super surprising. Fate of hundreds sheltering in bombed theater in Mariupol is unknown. And Ukraine says it has rescued mayor who was detained by armed Russian. Actually, what has happened, they call it a special operation, but what has happened is there was a trade. So the kidnapped mayor of Militopol was handed to Ukraine in exchange of 9 Russian soldier conscripts of a certain age, like I think relatively young. And so that was a exchange of prisoners of war. Putin has made a discourse today and it's being misrepresented on Twitter. This guy says, this is very scary. Putin is basically telling any Russian living abroad to come back to Russia or be considered a traitor. The language is unbelievable. The problem is this is not what Putin is saying at all. Putin is saying that there will be a use of the fifth column, that there will be an exploitation of Russians abroad. And he told the Russians abroad, I understand that you like the comfort of foie gras, oysters, and so-called gender freedoms. Specifically referring essentially to the lifestyle of relatively well-off leftist SJWs. But he didn't tell them that they had to come back to Russia or be considered traitor. What he said is that the kind of bullshit that they bought into, those Russians who got charmed by the leftist American lifestyle, he said this kind of subversion will be detected if it happens in Russia, and that the Russian people will reject it. I think it was a very interesting statement. He's saying when the same kind of attempts at subversion of the family or subversion of whatever it is that he's referring to when he talks of the cosmopolitan leftist lifestyle, he talks about it as gender freedoms. So I think we can have a good idea that he's referring to the LGBT activism kind of stuff. He says the Russians will reject this and spit it on the streets. That was his message. His message is the Russian people is intelligent enough to not fall for what America fell for. So that was the drama theater being solidly bombed. So totally opened on the inside here and totally crumbling. This seems to have been a missile strike of some kind. You can see one of missile flying over Kiev. It's amazing that you can just see them flying solo, and they are headed definitely for a more distant target here. We had an interview of the mayor of Kiev, I believe, one of the boxer mayor of Kiev.
Putin says he's only targeting military targets.
Bullshit. Sorry. Where's military target? This building is military target.
Putin says he...
Well, there's a fallacy being implied here. The media is asking, Putin says he's only targeting military targets. And then the question is this building a military target? The problem, what is not revealed here, is that it seems that this missile, which dropped toward this residential building, was subject to an attempt of interception from the Ukrainian side. So when you attempt to intercept a missile, you also have to understand that you will change its directory and its trajectory. And it could eventually affect something else that you don't have control over. NATO not as essential as a no-fly zone, Ukraine's deputy prime minister tells CNN. Well, this is the kind of strategy of Zelensky since the beginning of this war. It's like, please give us a no-fly zone. And it's so transparently ridiculous. It's so transparent what he's trying to do. He's trying to get American soldiers killed so that the war machine of America gets activated on his side. That's literally what he's trying to do. And it's so obvious. It's so disgusting. And it's so small in terms of a strategy. It's like this. He's doing it every day. And every day he gets help from Western governments. And he's like, it's not enough. Shut the fuck up, Zelensky. Shut up. You're annoying. You are irresponsible in your propositions. You're trying to get more blood so that you can have a stronger side. It's ridiculous. You look like a narcissistic fool. A long train with Russian military equipment sighted in Krasnoyarsk, so that was at the center in the south of Russia, so very far from the Ukraine border. We see a lot of tanks on this train. They are headed potentially to Ukraine, so it seems like there will be reinforcement arriving in Ukraine. We haven't seen all of what Russia had to offer in Ukraine. 3 civilian vehicles caught fire as a result of Russian shelling targeting Brovary. So here are the cars while they are on fire. All right. Kiev today, this was one of the buildings affected by a missile strike or an intercepted missile. Destruction of residential structure, fire, and complete blast of the windows and walls. Justet says Zelensky is towing the WEF line, JF. Fort Reich, Satan class. Well, yes, I agree that this is what he is doing or trying to do. What do we have here? Images of more tanks lined up for apparently preparations.
Привет, ребята.
I don't know which side that is. Is that the Ukrainian side or the Russian side? But a lot of material is available. You know, I'm seriously questioning the efficacy of tanks. In the end, why do they carry such visible, easily targetable things? We've seen that defenses against tanks. I think that tanks may have been super strong 80 years ago, And I think they may be less and less strong as we advance into the future. I think they are easily targetable. They are clumsy. They are hard to drive, especially in the mud. And they are hard to carry around. They cannot cross rivers without a pontoon or a bridge. And ultimately, in urban environments, I'm questioning their efficacy. However, who am I? You know, I'm not a military strategist. Ukraine mounts counter-offensive to drive Russians back from Kyiv and Kyiv's key cities. I don't know to what extent that's true and to what extent it's successful. I think that the pro-Ukraine side likes to convince themselves that they're pushing back. But as Coach Red Pill has been observing, it could very well be a strategy of Putin to say to his troops, as far as Kyiv goes, don't engage, withdraw. If you get some opposition, just drive back and go back. It doesn't seem right now that the siege of Kyiv is a priority. It may become one, but it seems that for now the siege of Kyiv plays the role of more of a diversion for what's happening in the south and the east. Now, eventually, if the south and the east are completed, we might see a massive surge of forces brought toward Kyiv to finish off the job. But it doesn't seem for now that there is a massive attempt at taking Kyiv. That's at least my reading of the troop movements up to now. Rodilacid says, tanks are still good against infantry. If that infantry doesn't have an unlimited supply of anti-tank rockets. Yeah, and there's the problem. You know, you're faced with a nation here who is covertly being funded infinitely by Americans. Is it really worth to carry tanks in this situation? Maybe it is. Maybe it's necessary to have the tanks because you need the tanks to protect other things, and perhaps these other things are needed for airstrikes and air defense, that kind of stuff. John Drake says, these javelins work very well and at 250k cheap. Yeah. Moscow and Kyiv see signs of compromise on Ukraine's security status, but there were no results today from this. Kyiv ended up saying, we reject the offer as it stands. Another Russian attack helicopter was destroyed by Ukrainian air defenses, a Ka-52 with tail number RF-13411. There it is. Gigantic helicopter broken. It's amazing the waste of resources. Ultimately, that is war. War is just accepting to be in a mode with another nation where everything you do against them will cost them stuff, will bring them down. And everything they do against you will cost and bring you down. Ultimately, that is what war is. It's the breaking, the deconstructive progression of humanity when two enemies have decided that it's the only thing they could do to protect their existence. Footage has emerged of the aftermath of Ukraine indirect fire against Kherson Airport. Approximately 14 supply trucks destroyed, 8 damaged. So from my understanding, this is Russian tanks that were occupying the Kherson Airport and successfully taking control of it, but eventually the Ukrainians striking back and attacking their equipment. Oh, Defined. Defined has made the gender change right here live on the regular chat. He says, I no longer identify as an attack helicopter. Well, it's good to have you back as a human being. You can choose to be a human male or female going forward, but he is no longer an attack helicopter. So even in the fight back, when you fight to take back an airport like this, there's cost for you. You know, you're destroying your own infrastructure. The mess is enormous in Ukraine. It's going to be a long time to repair all this. Moscow first offered Kiev to avoid bloodshed, according to Putin. We've already covered this in another news item, so I won't come back to it. Biden calls Putin a war criminal after approving armed drones for Ukraine. So now this is the situation that I was scared Vladimir Putin would end up with. Now we'll have armed drones. They will not be driven by American soldiers, but presumably American soldiers will be heavily involved in training the Ukrainians to use them. So you now have 100 potential drones tracking Russian forces. When does that end? You know, as long as they can bring infinite supplies for Ukraine to defend itself, it extends the conflict eternally, which is why I was talking 1 week ago that Putin had a window to take Ukraine as it stood without the infinite contribution of the world and the, you know, America's infinite war machine behind the supplies. Now, maybe I'm worried too much. Maybe Putin doesn't share my worries. It depends on what's his strategic stance. If all Putin wants to accomplish is divert at Kiev while he takes the south and the east, then these drones will not change the story, you know. But if he's really interested in taking Ukraine in some significant portion of it or all of it, this is going to become annoying. It's going to increase the loss on his side. And because he's not been responding to America giving javelins, not responding to America giving this and that, and now America is giving drones, so America is giving essentially air power of some kind to Ukraine. What is the limit? What is the time at which we can affirm the US is at war with Russia, which is, in my view, what's happening right now? Because how many Russian soldiers have died to donated weapons by the West? Presumably many. Azov destroys a Russian tank. I don't know if it's Azov, I cannot verify, but you can see a tank advancing here. Stricken from the back, and then more strike. The tank turns around a little bit, but it seems that the soldier inside the tank, he's now going back, but his rail has been, I don't know how you call this, but it's been broken. So he was losing his capacity to roll. And now he is standing out. It seems that he's trying to exit. And I would presume that he's not been successful at exiting based on this particular angle. A track, that's the name of it, a track. White Pillar says UK gave javelins, JF, 20k of them. So yeah, it's an annoying situation where... Okay, so Russian soldiers are dying by the funding of the UK. When is it that we say, all right, this is a war? It's a war between the UK and Russia using Ukrainian mercenaries, basically. This is what's happening right now. And it's just so that from a military strategic perspective, the best way to attack Russia for the UK and for the US is to do it with civilians, Ukrainian civilians, as victim posing. That's basically what's happening. Yes, just that says a proxy war. And that's so unfortunate because I believe there would be less bloodshed and less suffering if Ukraine had lost quickly. So I believe that these armed contributions of the West are ultimately making this conflict potentially last decades and potentially hurting so many more people. The bias news: Biden administration considering reversing Trump's decision and removing Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps from terror blacklist. I don't have a strong position on this. Essentially, it's the Iranian army of some kind, I guess. Trump's decision. I don't like the alternance. I don't like that we're playing the, oh yeah, lots of sanctions. Oh, no more sanctions because now it's Democrats. Or, oh, more sanctions on there because it's the Democrats, but less sanctions on them. It's America is acting like an unstable person. And that's not good for our standing internationally. A family withdrew their daughter from a Texas high school when they found that staff encouraged her to transition to being a male and hid it from them. Then someone anonymously accused the parents of child abuse. It appeared retaliatory. My latest story for Chronicles. So it's coming to America. We've seen this in European nations and Canada. It's going to come to America, of course, where they try to change the sex of your child. And somehow you don't consent. And perhaps you even get your way in the sense that you succeed at getting your child out of this process. And then they call the CPS on you and they say, and they can do it anonymously. And so the CPS says, oh, we have to investigate. And now they knock on your door. And now they make all sorts of findings to make sure that you don't see your children again. That is the sad state of allowing these unstable courts that are not constitutional, that don't respect due process. As long as this is available as a weapon, it will be used as a weapon. And it will be used by pissed off teachers for being stopped from chopping the balls of your son or chopping the ovaries of your daughter. That is the current state of America. Senate rejects measure to eliminate Fauci's position. A Senate committee on March 15 rejected a measure from Senator Rand Paul that would have eliminated the position held by Dr. Anthony Fauci since 1984. Unbelievable. Anthony Fauci has been in his position since the day I'm born, since 1984, the year I'm born. So all of my life, childhood, teenage years, young adult life, Anthony Fauci has been in this position in the American government. This is stunning. But yeah, Rand Paul was trying to get this abolished. I think a lot of things must be abolished in the way the American government has been used to shame people medically, to control what people think medically, and also to control medical liberty even from the doctor side by trying to fund certain ways for hospitals to deal with COVID, but not other ways. And that's where medicine becomes politics, and we've seen it in full swing in the COVID pandemic. I would not just abolish the Fauci position, I would abolish entire departments. Mama JF says, maybe he's an immortal reptile. Well, that is such a beautiful suggestion, Mama JF, because we can finally suggest this. We are on Odyssey now. We can talk about, you know, look at his eyes and compare to the snake's eye. And Anthony Fauci has certain features that are reptilian or reptilian-like. It's fun that I would have had to shut down Mama JF for saying this on YouTube 3 months ago. But now we're on Odyssey and we can relax, we can make a joke, we can think about the potential scene where Anthony Fauci is in full lizard form, and he's hanging out with the other lizard in a lizard palace of some kind, and they're drinking champagne, and they're like, these idiots have believed everything we told them. Graves Koda says, I thought BitChute was for the reptilian stuff. Yeah, it's something you get very often on BitChute. Less often, perhaps, on Odyssey. Dead Star was on Entropy. He says, what are your opinions on Ohio becoming a constitutional carry state this week? This means any citizen can carry a firearm on their person or in vehicle without a permit or mandatory training. I'm super happy about it. I didn't know it was going on. I'm happy. I'm glad that this is happening. This should be the default. This is, to me, it's not even exceptional. To me, those are just the states that respect the Constitution. Because the Second Amendment says the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed, right? Or something along those lines. So to me, that's a very clear statement. It means it shall not be infringed. It's there. It's a right. You don't interrupt a man or a woman from having a gun. It's as simple as this. So yes, that's to me the implementation of the Constitution. It's all these other states that don't have this, that are in violation of the Constitution. People are not positive about Bitcoin. Do you think Bitcoin will rise to a new ATH within the year? 4 people have voted and they all voted no. Well, that's weird because I'm seeing some positive movement today. I'm very enthusiastic about it. We're at 41K. Of course, it's been, to me, I mean, this looks like a bottom to me. It's like, the price doesn't want to go lower than this at 37K. But maybe I'm wrong. We're not seeing. Here it is. To me, this looks like a bottom. It looks like the price really strongly resists going anywhere down 37K. But I may be wrong. I'm keeping my Bitcoin. I hope that from here it's going to be up and up and up. But I'm willing to take a drop of price to get us eventually back on the up direction. All right, guys, we are going to soon be headed toward our private Patreon and Subscribestar hangout. If you want to be part of the conversation, join me in 45 minutes from now by subscribing to the Patreon at the $20 level or the Subscribestar. One last thing I wanted to talk about is I watch Django Unchained. Django Unchained, a movie by Quentin Tarantino. We watched this yesterday with Mama JF. A 2012 American revisionist Western film. It's a very interesting movie. Definitely it's a movie that's in 2012 is very much into the yes, revisionism is the right word. It's a kind of extreme leftist propaganda where, oh my God, the Jews and the blacks will team together to kill and abolish the bigoted white American and get over with slavery. And it's very modern in its concern, because it's presented as happening during the times of slavery and plantations. But it's basically a message of today's world. It's a message meant for the modern American to kind of see the association between Black Lives Matter and Jews and how they can combat white races together. Hello, Mama JF. Have you enjoyed the movie?
Yes, but it's weird. It's like if they do, like if a black man do so much fidelity toward their woman.
Oh yeah, there's the whole black man as a hero trope there. And it's like, Okay, well, I guess that there are black men who would pursue everything to get their woman back, and these women, well, in the modern world, the problem is that is not the story of the black family nor of the white family. It is a story of divorce and a story of women not being interested at maintaining the family. But in this particular movie, there is something very heterosexual about it, which is that the guy goes through all trouble to find his wife again, who's been transformed into a slave, and they've been separated by force. I really like the dynamic. It's one of these classical Quentin Tarantino movie with extreme build-up of social tensions. The scene at the end with the dinner negotiation with Leonardo DiCaprio, it's just classic Quentin Tarantino, so exciting, so funny. I really liked how they do the negotiation.
Yeah, it's like so much tension because you know at some point somebody's gonna start to kill everyone, but you don't know who and when.
Yeah, and typically, you know, in this kind of movie, the tension builds. It's just a scene at the dinner table, but you know that someone is going to take a gun and kill hundreds of people at some point, as Mama JF says. And the whole tension is built around Leonardo DiCaprio, and they have a whole ruse to get into this plantation, and Leonardo DiCaprio is the slave owner, and somehow they don't want to reveal to him that they're interested in the girl because she's the wife of the other guy. So they make a whole ruse where, oh, we're not interested in her, we're interested in this guy. But maybe we can take her too. And just because of this little lie, Leonardo DiCaprio eventually gets totally pissed because he's like, these guys have been losing my time. And he takes the girl and he's like, this is the girl you really want? I'm gonna drop a hammer on her head and crash her cranium if you don't pay me $12,000 right now. It's so funny, this ending. Mama JF, what's up?
Yes. Hey, and it would be interesting to know your opinion of, because you're a neuroscientist. Like, is it true what he says about the brain of the black have more servitude? The
no.
Part?
Yeah, no.
It's not true.
Leonardo DiCaprio takes a cranium and he starts making a whole phrenologic explanation. Where he says, okay, the, you know, black people have this little dimple, these three dimples at this place of the brain, and it makes them more submissive, and white people don't have three dimples in some other place, and it makes them geniuses. This is all Quentin Tarantino trying to play into the leftist modern meme of, oh, slavery was justified by evil science, by phrenology. Because ultimately, that's a big leftist point of pressure, because they're so much after controlling medicine and controlling your liberty. They want to make the case that historically science has been misused. So they really like to talk about, you know, evil Nazi scientists, because ultimately they're also interested at controlling current science, which has nothing to do with Nazi science. But they like to blend the moral and factual boundary in that way. And so Quentin Tarantino, when he has Leonardo DiCaprio make a whole phrenology explanation to justify slavery, that's just him putting into enactment, into a movie, the leftist dream of, oh my God, this was all justified by science. When in fact, slavery went on without science, or with science, you know. Science didn't cause slavery. Science was barely used as a justification for slavery. What happens is that the scientists of this time, you'll read their written reports and their articles, and they will exhume some of the kind of societal, over, you know, this societal thought that was present everywhere, that was omnipresent in society then, that slavery is acceptable. You will hear that and read this in their writing. But that doesn't mean that they caused slavery. As D.K. Shadow says, slavery is pre-scientific. Slavery exists in humanity before anyone starts caring about, oh my God, the brains and the racial distinctions and that kind of stuff. So in a way, it's extremely, and I like that this is how Wikipedia describes it. It's revisionism. It's leftist revisionism. So Quentin Tarantino not only revisioned the Western style of movie, you know, this whole idea of cowboys, and in this movie, the cowboy is black and people are shocked at it, at this fact. But he also entered into the revisionism of modern leftism, which is to imagine science as a cause of the evils of the past when it's barely involved in the evils of the past. The evils of the past were going on before any of these scientific statements came to be, before phrenology was a thing. That is it for tonight. So we'll go for our private Patreon hangout. This will be live in 40 minutes. So join the Patreon or the Subscribestar if you want to get the link. Have a good night. We'll be right back.